All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, we need your support. We're planning to go to E3 2019, but we can't go without your support. Head over now to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com and support the show. You could donate if you want, or there's another way for you to support GTR. Go to store.gamertagradio.com and buy t-shirts, hoodies, stickers. Please spread the word. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 843. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, let's start with Paris. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning, man. What's up with you, man?
It's Sunday morning. It's been a lot of games coming out here over the past couple of days, so I'm sure we're going to be talking about all of them.
Yeah. And also joining us is Pete. What's going on, Pete?
What's up? I can't stop playing Apex. I'm addicted. I think I it may be time to just uninstall PUBG. It's happening.
Oh, wow. Wow. there's still people playing that game, right? It's still doing good. The numbers, right?
I wouldn't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't even track it anymore. I come home.
You used to a lot.
Oh, no. I used to, for sure. But I think right now it is gone into the waste bin right now. I don't even look at it. It doesn't even come up as a thought. Like I could get bored and I'd rather go do something else.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think that's more of an indictment on the game. I think Apex just checks all the boxes right now for me.
All right.
As evidenced by the 8-hour stream last night.
All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. And also you could find the podcast, different podcast apps, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So we have a couple topics here, man. Like Paris said earlier, we have there's a lot of games that just came out. I posted a review of Far Cry New Dawn on the last episode. But I know there's a couple other extra games too that came out. Metro Exodus, Anthem, Crackdown 3, and I believe there's more coming up very, very soon. But for now, we're going to talk about those three games. Let's start with Metro Exodus, because Paris is the only one that received a copy of this game. But I haven't had the opportunity. Have you played it, Pete, at all? Because I know you covered
not.
A couple of times. No? Okay.
No, I have not, but I am. It is on the list to pick up. I will be purchasing that out of my own personal pocket because that's a game that's actually worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Paris, can you tell us a little bit about your experience so far? Hands-on, not a review, just hands-on impressions about the game.
Okay. Number one, don't tell me what I want to say about the game. Maybe I want to review it right now. You don't know. I'm kidding.
It's part of the topic. So continue, sir.
Hey, it's Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. You'd be so mean. I can make myself level that way. So Metro Exodus, first and foremost, want to thank Deep Silver. They sent me over a PC review code late last week, which the funny story behind that is the review code went to my spam folder and it was like my spidey sense went off and go, you should check your spam folder. Sure enough, I go in there for no reason. Something's just like, check your spam folder. And I go in and check my spam folder. And I had the review code sitting in there for over 2 days. So I got a late start on it, unfortunately. But I've got a chance to play it here over the past week or so. And like I said, it's PC version. First and foremost, the game is drop dead gorgeous. As soon as you make it into the open world, and I'm doing air quotes when I say open world of Metro Exodus, drop dead gorgeous. I'm playing on a 1080 Ti. I've been playing it at 4K, which isn't quite hitting 60 frames per second for me, fully maxed out. 1440p, I've been able to get it over 60 frames, no problem. But you know, and I know Digital Foundry actually just did a video thing where they're doing the RTX, and they're basically deeming this the first game to truly take advantage of RTX. And, you know, like I said, it is absolutely gorgeous. But the game itself, that's what people are here for. I'm loving it. If you've played the previous Metro games, you already know what I mean. Just the world that 4A Games has created, you know, in the Metroverse, this is just the natural extension of it. It's no longer completely underground, being more of a corridor shooter. They've now taken us above ground into open spaces. And when I talk about it being open world, air quotes, it's really three big open spaces that you're allowed to explore, but the actual story itself is still very linear. It's still pushing you in a certain direction while you're in the game. The shooting on it, keyboard and mouse, is fine. I've gone back and forth, as I like to do on PC, between keyboard and mouse and controller to try and get a feel for both. If you're playing on PC, go keyboard and mouse. Don't go controller. It feels very stiff playing it with a controller. So I'm actually curious to hear what people say that have been playing on Xbox and PlayStation 4. But like I said, overall, the shooting is pretty good. Again, it's more of a survival type horror game versus, nah, I shouldn't say horror, that's a strong word, but it's more of a survival game than it is your typical first person shooter going guns blazing. You absolutely can do that when you're in the game, but you're going to run out of ammo pretty quick and you're going to die. I can tell you that right now. I've been playing it on the hard mode. I haven't played it on normal, and the difficulties felt about right to me. It's pretty good. It definitely encourages to use more stealth when you're out in the world versus, like I said, going in gun blazing. It forces you to actually think about going into situations. What type of ammo do I have? You know, do I need to come in and try and sneak on people to get stealth attacks, do melee kills, etc.? Because like I said, you have to scavenge for all your ammo and the things that you want to do. Again, I don't want to give up too many spoilers on the story other than to say this, and I believe it was PC Gamer that made this suggestion. Play it in Russian with subtitles. It's a lot better that way because the English voice acting, it's not terrible, but it's not the greatest in the world either. I played the majority of it with the English voice acting on, and I had the subtitles going, and I kind of started to tune out the voice acting because I just read what they were saying and I was just more engaged with actually going through the story itself. It's a great game. It's for sure worth your time to pick it up. I don't know about on console, but on PC, especially pre-launch, I had a ton of issue bug-wise. Every time I would run into a cutscene, it was crashing on me, and I would have to boot into safe mode, go from safe mode to get back into the game to get past the cutscene, and then exit again, and then jump back in so I could play the game. So that was actually a little bit of frustration for me while I was trying to play it pre-launch. I've noticed since launch, I've not had that issue. It's been playing just fine. I know, Danny, you had sent a link and I didn't get a chance to read it, but I guess some people were having issue on console as well. I can't 100% confirm that or not. I can't confirm how good it looks on Xbox One X or PS4 Pro. I know Digital Foundry has a video out there with the comparison, but the PC version, like I said, is fantastic. It really is, as far as visually goes. Again, just the world of Metro, the things that you're going to do in it. And I know I kind of haven't completely explained what that is. You're basically going into a post-apocalyptic, I never say that correctly, Russia, and around the Moscow area. And the first two games, Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light, was pretty much underground, like in the subway system. You had a couple times where you would go above ground, whereas with Metro Exodus, the majority of it is happening above ground. Like I said, in the open world, and again, like I said, it's really just three big spaces that you get to explore. But, you know, just the lighting effects, just the daytime effects that are in place, the weather effects that are in place, top notch. And when I say top notch, compares with some of the best games that you see in the industry right now. That's how good this game looks. That's how good this game plays. It's a smart shooter that's going to make you think, and I love it. I've always loved the series. I think 4A Games is one of the most underrated developers out there right now, and this is absolutely worth your time and your money to play if you get a chance. It is only a single player game, so you don't need to rush out and go get it day one because it's a self-contained experience. Obviously, try and avoid spoilers as you can, but when you do get a chance to pick it up, end of the day, it's going to be one of the best survival shooters that you'll play in 2019. And like Danny said, this isn't my full review. I'm actually working on a video. I'm going to have video up, do a full review of it, kind of, you know, show off some of the environment and everything in there and give my final grade of it. But spoiler alert, I like it a lot. That's it.
That's good. And there's no like multiplayer or anything. It's just strictly single player, right? Because I don't know much about the game, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's just single player. That's it.
Purely single player experience.
Single player, which, awesome. Hey, sometimes that's all you need. I don't need a freaking co-op. I don't need some forced in. Like, they could easily have done some type of PvP in the Metroverse easily, right? It does lean itself towards that. But I'm actually glad that 4A Games has not fallen into that temptation to force in some PvP or force in a co-op mode. It's you have an AI companion here and there while you're in there playing, but the majority of the game is you surviving against not only environment, the human enemies, the mutated enemies. And like I said, I love that it's not just a bullet sponge, ammo's everywhere fest. You have to think before you go into every encounter. And the best way to handle every encounter, 9 times out of 10, is to use stealth. And the better you get at using the stealth, the more success you're going to have in the game.
Yeah, the economy of not using bullets excessively makes that game so much more
makes it intense.
So much better than everything else, because you don't have to go in there bullets blazing and emptying your clip and auto reloading every encounter. You're better off actually using, like you said, you're better off using stealth, using your knife. And there's moments where you don't even need to kill anybody. You just knock them out, just creep up from behind, knock them out, put them to the side, and just keep going.
Now, I will say this, and I noticed it especially more in the actual open world spaces where you can observe the AI from afar. The AI is kind of dumb in some scenarios. They're not using tactics and things like that. That where, you know, you take out an enemy, they see him and they're calling in reinforcements and they're trying to flank you and things like that. So don't expect that when you're in there. But again, the whole point of it is you're very limited on supplies and you strategically kind of have to look at the environment, map out what your strategy is going to be, and then execute it when you go into a certain scenario. Like, I'll take this ain't the Black Tusks in Division 2 on the endgame stuff where they send in black mirrors after you and doing all this crazy stuff. Don't expect that, because that's not happening in this game. But like I said, for me overall, I really enjoy it. It's my type of gameplay. I have a lot of fun with it. And like I said, in the day, it makes you think. And I like games that make me think when I have to go in and play. And I've always considered it one of the better shooters out there. And Metro Exodus keeps that up. And now, graphically, it is right up there with the best of them graphically. It's a fantastic game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, so I mean, right now I think it's a good time to be a gamer, man. There's so many games that came out a couple of days ago, so you have a lot of different options. But the game I think that we've been talking about a lot for like the past few months has been Anthem. But before we talk about Anthem, props to Paris, man. He's in the credits, man. Pretty cool. Was not expecting that at all. You know, the developers just gave a shout out to not only Paris, but a lot of the EA game changers that was giving a lot of like feedback about the game and stuff. So that was pretty cool to see that, man, you know, getting the community involved. So very, very cool. But Paris, I know you got an early copy of Anthem for the PC, not for consoles, but your thoughts about the game overall so far, man, because you've been really critical for like since last year. Now that you have it, the final version, was it worth the wait or what?
Actually, I want to backtrack to what you mentioned. I want to thank EA BioWare and the EA Game Changers program for having me in the credits of the game of Anthem. I won't say too much about it other than the fact that, yes, I was involved earlier in the development of Anthem, and I was able to provide some feedback on what I thought about the game to kind of help shape what we got here at launch today. And to then see that they acknowledged all the EA game changers that were involved in that process was amazing. Like I said, I was not expecting that at all. So I just want to thank them first and foremost for that, because they wanted my 100% honest feedback of what I thought about the game. And that is exactly what I gave them. And they appreciated the feedback. I appreciated the opportunity to be able to do something like that. And I will simply say, without getting in trouble, that watching the development of a game is a very interesting process. And it comes down to this: do not judge a game until you get to the final product. And I will leave it at that. It is a very interesting process. Going to your question about Anthem the game. Yes. I have it early now. I've been playing it since Friday morning, and it's Anthem in this sense. It is a gorgeous world, drop dead gorgeous open world that they have. the feeling of being able to fly throughout that world, the verticality of that world is fantastic. I like the gunplay in it, the third person over the shoulder gunplay that it gives, the combos that you can pull off being the various characters, be it the Colossus, the Storm, the Interceptor, or the Ranger. I love it. I really do. I think the bones of what BioWare has built with Anthem is amazing. And there's going to be so many great things that will come to this game in the future. And I say that because right now, I cannot with good faith recommend anyone picking this game up at $60 price tag today. And here's why. And I've talked about this, you know, during the demo and just some of the other things, because, you know, I went to the capture event as well and I got to see some of the end game stuff, you know, previously. I don't feel there's enough content here today that is going to sustain you a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. I feel like, and we've already seen it here just in the early access, people have already completed the story. And it's kind of, all right, now I'm just repeating what I've done before. And they're seeing some of the things that are BioWare's put in place to kind of lengthen out the game time, where you're doing the game mechanics has you going in the world and you have to stay in one spot and defend against a horde of enemies while, you know, basically a counter goes down to, quote unquote, unlock something or fix something. And that happens a lot. There are a lot of people who are referencing the tomb mission where you kind of have the gap where they're forcing you to go on some fetch it quest to get certain items to kind of lengthen out game time. Me personally, I'm not a fan of the story. And let me be clear here. I'm being critical right now because, again, I'm sure you guys want me to be honest about it. Yes, I appreciate everything BioWare and EA have done, the Game Changers have done, giving me, you know, a sneak peek into the game. But here we are with the final game, and I'm giving my final opinion on it, that I don't feel there's enough content right now. I do not like the loot system. I just don't. That has been one of my big sticklers about it. I don't feel rewarded when I'm out in the world when an item drops and I see common item or I see whatever. I don't like how they force you to go back to Fort Tarsus to do everything. And I know, I believe there is a patch that is coming on the 22nd to speed up when you're in Fort Tarsus, because right now you're slow as molasses when you're in there walking around. But I believe a patch is coming to where you can sprint around. Yes, when you're in Fort Tarsus, it does change over time as you progress through the story. But I simply feel like it is a lifeless environment that is forcing me to have interactions with NPC characters that aren't needed. I don't like that I have to go to Fort Tarsus to change my loadout and see what I have and make adjustments. And I get the lore of it, that it's a javelin and you have to equip it and you don't have all these items with you together. But let's kind of think outside the box here a little bit, if I'm BioWare, and make it more accessible, especially when you look at the competition in the space of Destiny and a Division that does allow you to do things like that. I just feel like I'm being forced to do things that are monotonous and not necessarily fun. And the reason I bring that up is hell, when I get into freaking Javelin and I take off like Iron Man and I'm in the world, I freaking love it. I really do. I really love it. I just want to see more mission variety. I want to see more variety when I get to the higher level end game things, you know, with the strongholds and potentially one day down the road, maybe they introduce some raid type activities. I feel right now it's just very content light for what you're doing. Yes, you will have fun when you play it the first few times through. Don't get me wrong. And because I guarantee you, you will see people on social media screaming from the heavens right now about how much they're loving the game. Let's see if they're saying this 3 weeks from now. Let's see if they're saying this 2 months from now. And it's going to be up to BioWare and EA to actually get that roadmap that they've promised us now and get that content flowing to show me that, yep, here's new content, here's new variety in gameplay, here's different weapons. We've overhauled the loot system. We've overhauled some of the quality of life UI things that I think plague it right now. And it's funny because if Anthem came out 2 years ago, I don't think I have these complaints. I really don't. I think I have these complaints because I've been playing Destiny for 4 years. I've been playing The Division recently. We know The Division 2 is coming. These are games that have matured in the space, and Anthem is coming in a very immature state, and it's going to take time, and it's going to get there. I guarantee you a year from now, we're not having this conversation. I think Anthem will be a completely different game a year from now. I just think these are the growing pains that happen when you introduce these open world looter shooters into the space. And because of that, it's going to be compared to its older siblings. Fair or not. It's just, that's the reality of it. And people are going to criticize it because it's not what the other two games are. Bottom line. And I do think, and people have played it on the demo now, I do think Anthem is more Monster Hunter than it is Destiny or Division, but that doesn't matter either. You're going to be compared to those other two games. It's just a fact of life. And I would say to people that pick it up at launch, if you spend $60, have patience. Have patience. Understand that you're going to have fun with it early on because you 100% will. But understand that you're going to hit a content drought. And trust me, I'm not saying this just for Anthem because I'm very grumpy with Destiny 2 right now because I do not like where Bungie is going with the game either. And that's a conversation for another day. We'll see what the Division 2 is when that comes out at launch. But for what Anthem is right now, just understand that you're going to get a drop-dead gorgeous game that is going to have some quality of life issues. It's going to have some UI issues. It's going to have some loot issues. It's going to have some repetitive gameplay when you get in there. Yes, they've actually, thankfully, because of our feedback with the Grandmaster difficulty, when you do get to the end game, they've reduced the bullet sponge in the difficulty. If you watch one of the videos, I have it, Jesus Christ, that was freaking ridiculous. You're just pumping bullets into these low-level enemies that have these shields on them, and it required you to obviously work together as a team and get your combos and all that. That's great, but it wasn't fun. It was just, hey, let's ramp up difficulty just for the sake of difficulty. And I didn't necessarily feel that the items that we were getting were rewarding. They have tuned that going into launch, so it's not as bad anymore. But these are the kind of things where us as a community, for the people that will be dedicated to play Anthem day one, give feedback. And give constructive feedback. Don't just go on Twitter and cuss out BioWare and EA. No, go, hey, here's what I like. Here's what I didn't like. Because they are listening. They want that feedback. Trust me when I tell you.
They need it.
They want that feedback because they want to make Anthem the best game that it possibly can be. Right? And the only way it's going to get there is if we open our mouths and we give useful constructive criticism. And like I said, I'm being very hard on the game right now because I see the potential of it. And I want it to be great. I want it to force me to have the conundrums of conundrums, like, Jesus Christ, what am I going to play? Am I going to play this and play that? Because I want to play Anthem because it's so good. Right now, it's an easy decision for me to not play Anthem and play other things. And it shouldn't be that way. But I am different because I've played a lot of Anthem before launch, so I already know what to expect, right? But for people that are picking it up right now on early access and for people that are going to pick it up next week, just understand that you will have early fun and then you will reach a point where you're going to go, this is very repetitive. What am I doing? But BioWare is committed to adding new content to the game. And like I said, I think the future for the game is bright, but it's going to be up to us working with the developers and providing feedback to help the game get to where it needs to be. And I've talked a lot, so I will be quiet.
So this roadmap that they've announced back in early February, right? They talk about the first act coming up, Evolving World or something like that. It's the Echoes of Reality, and then they'll move on. I'm actually looking at the big screenshot that they sent up with all the things that they'll be releasing throughout the year, you know, expanded progression system, strongholds, you know, guilds and leaderboards, missions, and
yes,
ultimately, you know, culminating in the Cataclysm, which we don't know a lot about. It seems as if, and I think we've already talked about this in the past, but it almost seems as if they didn't learn from the from from the stumbles and mistakes that Bungie and The Division did, you know, when they first launched. But it almost seems like these are reactionary things, maybe partially to what, you know, you and the rest of the EA Game Changers provided as feedback, but also what other games are delivering now. The question I still think, you know, that sits on everybody's lips is, why weren't these implemented at launch? And if not, and if they knew that this was going to be a living, breathing, and if they were going to do that, why drop it now and just feel that, okay, I'm just going to update it later, as opposed to delivering a full service or a full plate of food at the beginning?
I can answer that question, because at this point, they can't just keep delaying the game. At some point, it has to come out. At some point, with these games, you have to understand, and this goes with Destiny, this goes with The Division. We've seen that track record over the past few years. These games only get better once they go public and we actually start providing feedback. You know, you saw the list of EA Game Changers that were a part mm-hmm. of that. We are a micro fraction of the community. We are a small percentage with our own wants and needs. I won't talk too much about how that whole process worked, but you know, you need the entire community giving feedback. You need Reddit to be freaking lit with people talking about what they like, what they don't like. I want this to change, what that changes. Because once you start to see trends, then that's when you can start leaning a certain way on, all right, let's add this to the game. Let's fix this. Let's fix that. And trust me, like another big issue is the flipping load screens. Drives me bananas in 2019 that I have a game that has this many load screens and this type of, you know, when you compare it again to its siblings, fair or not, it doesn't look like, why are you releasing this game in this state when you've seen all the lessons learned from the other type of games in this space? But here's the thing, development ain't easy, right? And I'm not trying to defend BioWare in this sense. They're making the game that they want to make, but they're going to have to take their lumps just like Bungie and just like Massive did in this space to understand what it means to try and make a game of this type. And here we are. And like I said, I do enjoy when I pick up a controller or I pick up a mouse or a keyboard and I'm out in that open world exploring, I have fun. The problem is when I'm not out in that world exploring, I'm like, this sucks. I want to hurry up and get past all this Fort Tarsus stuff. I don't like that I have to go see this person to go change my javelin loadout. You know, I hate that when I get drops when I'm out in the world, I have to wait until I'm completely back to Fort Tarsus to see what it is. These are the type of things that they got to fix. I don't like that Fort Tarsus feels very stale and generic. I want it to feel alive and vibrant. I want to show off my javelin, which, again, our feedback was a direct result of that space that you guys saw in the demo where you can go in with your javelin and you see other people there. That was not in the game a few months ago. Trust me when I tell you. And these are the type of things that they need to add to the game, because why am I going through all this trouble of customizing my javelin and making it look cool? Like I saw our good friend Khalif, he's making the damn Constructicons out of all his javelins, right? With the paint color and everything. But who is he showing it to? Except on Twitter, right? He's not showing it to anyone in the world. No one's going to see him in Fort Tarsus and go, man, that looks freaking cool. Where'd you get that? You know, where's this actual social hub so that, you know, we can have that sense of pride of the gear and the loot and all the things that we're getting? Those aren't there yet. And maybe for some people that doesn't matter, but for a lot of people it does. And these are the kind of things that BioWare needs to hear so they can fix it and actually change it. And like I said, some fixes are coming on the 22nd, but not enough. And it's going to take time to do it. But like I said, for the people that want to be in this community and want to see this game succeed, you got to give the feedback and you got to give honest feedback. You can't, like, I could sit up here and freaking, oh, it's the greatest. Oh, pick it up. Oh, blah, 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 blah. But you know, I'm not going to do that. And I can tell you right now, the only reason I even was able to give feedback early is because they saw I wasn't going to do that. Right. Because they knew I was going to be honest about the game and be blunt and to the point of what I thought. Which I was, you know, for better or for worse. And You know, that's what they need from the community as well. Be honest. Don't just love a game just because you love who the developer is and they made Mass Effect 2 back in the day and you love that. If Anthem isn't doing it for you, you got to say it isn't doing it for you, because ultimately that's going to make the game better down the road.
There's people that will say that they prefer a game like Anthem than The Division because of the way how you play in Anthem. Do you think they should also give a division a chance, or should stick with just Anthem because of that, because of the way how the shooting, because some people find the division, like the, when you're batting out with the enemies, they find that really boring, and they will find it more entertaining with Anthem, you know, the whole flying around and doing all these power moves and all, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
well, so here's what I'll say. And cause I had actually tweeted this last week. Between Anthem, The Division, and Destiny, there's something for everyone. You only you can decide which one is for you. There are people that absolutely love Anthem for what, like Destin over at IGN. You know, he does the Fireteam chat. He's big into Destiny. That dude has been streaming Anthem all weekend because he loves it. RX, who's a huge YouTube content creator, you know, you met him at E3 a couple years ago, loves Anthem, just cannot stop singing its praises, and that's okay. I'm not necessarily those two guys where I'm just going to sit here and sing its praises, because what I'm seeing too many of the flaws that bug me that I can't overlook, and I want to see them fixed. But that's me. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to be everybody. Same goes for The Division. There's things about The Division people are going to love. There's things about it they're not going to like. Same goes with Destiny. All the above, right? So it really comes down to you, and I'm not telling anyone to just go spend their money blindly. Do the homework. See what the games are. I'm not saying listen to me, but listen to other people out there in the space that have been playing it. Go on Reddit. Go on social media. You know, Do your homework on if this game is for you and if you should give it a try. The fact that we even have an Origin premiere right now or EA, was it Access or whatever on the consoles, where you can basically do a trial for it. Do that kind of stuff too.
I think the issue with people trying to compare the two is the suspension of belief between a game like Anthem or a game like The Division. People may gravitate more towards a game like Anthem because a bullet sponge effect can be more believable. I actually had this conversation with a good friend of mine, Dan, this past week, when him and I were chatting about it. He's like, he feels that Anthem is more designed for him because he can't fathom the concept of a human being a bullet sponge. But you have somebody in a robot suit or in a fantasy, in like a sci-fi or fantasy aspect, being able to take damage like that because the suspension of belief is there, because it's a fantasy world. You've got armor, you're a robot, etc. So it's more believable versus, you know, there's no way a human should be a bullet sponge. And while, yes, we're all playing video games, we're talking about video games, that's his mechanism for it. And it made me step back for a second and be like, you know what? That makes sense. You know, it's not always about being the human bullet sponge. So there's a place for both. I really wish that EA would have held on to this and just pushed it back. Honestly, I think if they would have just put as people have been calling it, putting it back in the oven, let it launch for holiday season 2019, they wouldn't be going up against Apex, which is literally the apex predator of video games right now. It's killing everything off on Twitch. And wait till the holidays. Let it come out well, fully baked, golden brown, crispy with the cheese melting on the side and everything. And they would have had a lot less issues and complaints from people. But hey, good luck, EA. You know, yeah, like Paris has said, you're going to have a great title in about a year. Let it bake. Give it time.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, GTR listeners, we have a brand new sponsor here with Gamer Tag Radio. But first, podcasts are a great source of information and entertainment. And if you're like me, you can't always remember where you heard something. Imagine now the podcast, GTR, Gamer Tag Radio. We're turning 14 years. Do you remember every single thing? about TTR. And here's another thing. It's really hard to go back and remember where you heard it or what we said. It's really, really complicated. But I have something revolutionary to share with you. Recently, we've been using the Nodecast app by XIQ, which is available on both iOS and Android. And look, to tell you the truth, Nodecast is a game changer. You can use it to subscribe and listen to your favorite podcast, but you can also use it to save portion of the podcast whenever you want, and even automatically generates a transcript for you. All you do is tap the note button on the play screen or pause the podcast and say, save that. The Nodecast will save the last 30 seconds of what you heard so you can go back and listen later. And it will also store a transcript as a digital note. There's also an option to have it email it to you. Right now, I've been using this app now for a couple of days, and I subscribe not only Gamertag Radio, but a couple other shows just as a test, Spawn on Me, a couple IGN shows. Also, I'm into like the whole political podcast. I've been doing that, and I've been taking notes all the whole time going back. And yeah, it works. It works. And I just love that part, because if there's something I disagree, I go back to my notes, email to one of my favorite, you know, shows out there, and I'll tell them why I disagree, and I'll tell them what part of the podcast they talked about it, because I was taking notes. Whether it's a great conversation, story, joke, tip, or recipe, Nodecast will help you retain information like never before. It's an absolute must-have podcast app and the perfect cure for in one ear and out the other. You can download Nodecast for iOS or Android by going to nodecast.app. And we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try it free for 60 days. No credit card required. Just enter our promo code GTR when completing your sign up. Again, let me repeat this again. That's nodecast.app and use our code GTR to try it free for 60 days.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so the next game we're going to be talking about is Crackdown 3 that just came out also on the 15th. And I didn't get a review copy, to tell you the truth. I went straight to Game Pass and started playing that. The thing that I find this super weird is the way how Microsoft been sending out the review codes to not only the media sites, but also the, you know, YouTubers, streamers. The process was just freaking confusing. So they'll send some people the campaign code for them to review, and then some people the multiplayer. For Pete, they sent them the multiplayer version for him to check out.
Just
totally confusing. I don't get the whole thing. I don't know why they did that. I don't know why split the two files for people to review instead of having everything into one. Totally confusing. I don't get it. So I downloaded the game through Game Pass. And, you know, I know that this game was just going to be just Crackdown. Nothing crazy, stories, whatever. You know, I had an idea because of the... Ever since the first game, it was the same thing. I didn't really care about the story. The only thing that was fun to me was just collecting orbs, boss battles, everything. The main reason why I purchased, I got the first Crackdown was just to play Halo 3, the beta. Then the second one, they sent us, actually, that was the first review codes that we got for GTR. There was digital codes. It was Crackdown 2. So they sent us a couple, and we all got together to play it. And we were just having fun, just collecting orbs and doing the campaign and whatever, right? But we never cared about the story from both of those games. So I was like, all right, Crackdown 3 is going to be the same exact thing. Let me just play it. So knowing that the game's been getting a lot of bad reviews, I was like, oh, I'm going to play this with an open mind, see what happens, and so on. So I started playing it. I'm having fun with the game. And I feel like I know this game is not going to be no game of the year contender or anything like that, but it is what it is. I'm having fun with it. Now, even people that I know that doesn't play Xbox games, they also been posting on Twitter, hey, yo, I'm having fun too. I'm like, all right, so it's cool. So I know that this game's been getting really bad reviews. And one of the reviews that got my attention the most was, I think, was Giant Bomb. They said, the game is not bad. It just feels dated. The way how Microsoft was promoting it in the early days of, like, the first time they started announcing and talking about Crackdown 3, they were like, oh, it's going to be a new thing, power of the cloud and everything. So everybody's expecting, yo, this is going to be like next gen, so on. So when everybody gets the game, like, wait a minute, this game could have released on the 360 and it's just, there's nothing really new about this game. But at the end of the day, I told people this, don't buy it, right? But if you have Game Pass, check it out. If you're very curious and you don't have Game Pass, don't buy it until later that the prices go down. Maybe go buy like that. But I'm having fun with the game. The only thing that I really don't like, and I don't know why they released this, was the multiplayer, because I tried to play it and I find it just extremely boring. But if you're a fan of collecting orbs, hitting orbs, actually, the boss battles in this is a lot better than the first two. I find it more, a little bit more challenging than the other ones. The first one I find is extremely easy. But if you like the whole explosion just going crazy, if you're a fan of like Just Cause, that type of vibe, you should try it out. I truly enjoyed Crackdown 3. Yes, it's not the greatest game out there, but I'm having fun. So I don't know if you guys want to say anything about that. And I get the whole marketing thing and all that stuff. I get it. It was stupid. I don't even know why they mentioned Power of the Cloud, because there's nothing really new in this game. But that's what I have to say. But anything else you guys want to say? Or
you want to take it, Peter? You want me to take it?
No, go for I'll soften the blow before you come in with the uppercut.
Hold on, let me put my glasses on. Hold on.
I'm giving away codes on the stream. Then I'm going on mute. Okay. You talk.
Just in case,
Danny's putting hater blockers on.
I have to protect myself from the, you know, the anti Crackdown people. But it's all good.
No, it's fine.
It's just a conversation. It's all good. I don't mind.
How do I phrase this? Mm-hmm. First and foremost, shout out to Microsoft and Assembly for sending me out the code for Crackdown. The PvP, was it just that mode, right? Thank you. I don't know if it's what I needed in 2019, mm-hmm, was a separate download for this. I don't know why they split that off for review purposes. Since I don't have the full campaign, I don't know if Danny has access to that, or if he had to do two downloadables. I don't know.
You know what's funny? I had to download it twice. I had no idea there was two different files. That's the thing that I found it confusing. Because when I first heard that the game was already available on Game Pass, like to preload, I was like, pre-download. Dude, I did that. And it says campaign. I was like, all right, maybe an update. The multiplayer is going to be in the game closer to launch. So then you said, oh yeah, they sent me the multiplayer. I'm like, that's confusing, right? So yeah. When I searched through the store, they had it two different files. I don't get it. I don't know why they did that. It's so confusing in 2019. Like, why do that? Instead of just release everything in one file, make it easier for the regular consumer. Now, if you buy the disc, that's different. Of course, you're going to install it, but still you're going to be installing two different files when you get the game. Mm-hmm. Retail. If you buy it digitally, again, it's two separate files. Confusing. Yeah, but go ahead, Pete.
That makes no sense. I don't understand the marketing behind or the decision why they were, you know, why they would release, mm-hmm, two separate files.
Yeah.
I don't know if, from what I've seen from people playing, because I've watched, you know, probably about 9 different people streaming the game, people who were either enthusiasts for Crackdown or people who were just playing it to play it, mm-hmm, whether it be for the stream or as a you know, a featured streamer or whatever for the game. Mm-hmm. It feels like it seems to play like Crackdown 1 or Crackdown 2 with a little bit of enhancements. But I don't, mm-hmm, see any improvements. I don't see anything about Crackdown 3 that drives people outside of what Crackdown 1 and 2 originally delivered for the Xbox 360. I agree with you.
I totally agree with you.
This is a game that looks, and I can't say feels because I'm not playing it, but it, this is a game that looks like it's still stuck on Xbox 360. Right? And that's a shame because it was fun. And maybe maybe because it's dated, it gets that feeling. But it seems, unfortunately, almost, and this could almost seem like isn't it like an indictment on Xbox, you know, in general, but a lot of their titles aren't pushing the envelope, whether it be from a story / narrative perspective, from a mechanics perspective. It's a shame, honestly, because it's got potential, right? It has that, and I understand, you know, the whole Michael Bay feeling of going in guns blazing and everything exploding. You got Terry Crews, who's just an amazing person. But I just think it's a shame that there was a lost opportunity for Crackdown. And maybe because it is that dated feeling, you know, that maybe pushes that. I don't know. I just wish it could have done better. I don't see how being a $60 title, this is what gamers got. I could see maybe a $30, maybe $40, but a full $60 for Crackdown 3, I think that's a little too rich in my personal opinion.
I agree. $39.99, I think max should have been $39, and then wait if you want until it goes on.
I mean,
like I said, I've never mentioned this. I never mentioned to you guys for anyone to buy this. I said, look, if you have Game Pass, try it out. If you don't have Game Pass and you're still curious about it, you could wait until the price goes down. I'm dead serious about it.
Oh, I'm not laughing just wait. At you. I'm just...
But here's the thing. Like, it's available on Game Pass. So if I have Game Pass for a year, why not download it? I don't see anything wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I download a bunch of random games that I've never played before through Game Pass. So I'm like, hey, you know what? It's available there. Let me just do it. It's the same thing with other streaming services. Yo, there's stuff that they release. I'm like, yo, this is kind of garbage. Ah, let me see if it's true. And then I'm like, ah, it's okay. It's not that bad. You know what I'm saying? So
just wait for Paris to put on the XSplit hat.
No, man. And I get it. I know what Paris is going to say because we've been having this conversation before. But here's the thing. Like, I totally 100% I agree with you. 100%, right? But here's the thing. I think the I'm serious, guy. I feel like you're not taking my opinion seriously.
I'm not even laughing at you. I'm honestly giggling at Paris, and he literally looks like he needs to put like a shawl on right now.
I don't care. Look. I'll tell you this. I'm having fun with the game, and I think the problem that I see with a lot of people is when a lot of sites are giving bad reviews to a game. Let's say for example, Pete. PUBG, right? You love that game. Even with all the bugs, you still defend and love that game, right? It got you know, bad reviews here and there, right? The first Destiny got bad reviews, but a lot of people enjoy that game, you know? And I think that, to me, in my opinion, is, yeah, a lot of people will give it bad reviews, but it's better for us to find out on our own or at least do our research to see if it's good or not, instead of just depending on just major media outlets to say, okay, it's a bad game. You know what I'm trying to say? I just feel like we shouldn't get too gassed up because, look, I mentioned this to you guys even before I recorded that, yo, I was super hyped for Red Dead 2, right? I downloaded the game. The game, amazing reviews everywhere, right? I got to play it and I was freaking falling asleep. I was extremely bored. But if I say that, people will go actually right now on probably social media and play and be a, and say all these things. Oh, Godfrey, why are you saying this about Red Dead, the game of the year, blah, blah, blah. But yo, if I find it boring, like, I'm not going to force myself to like something just because it's getting nines and tens everywhere. See, you know what I'm trying to say? And I'm not trying to defend Crackdown.
But we're not trying to discuss whether you are allowed to enjoy it or not. It has nothing to do with what our conversations have been.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think that there's a reason for you to try to pull up the sword and shield and defend your personal opinion and your ability to enjoy it.
I'm not saying the game is amazing. I'm not saying that. I'm just having fun with it. Like, that's all. Okay. I'm saying. Yeah.
Good for you. Go get a rack of Oreos and let Paris.
Wow. 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 You know what? Go ahead, Paris. Paris. Hey, look, Paris talked a lot in the first half. So I had to take over for a second there, man. You know what I'm saying? So, and thanks for the Oreo cookies. It's good.
All right. So, with in regards to Crackdown 3, you're right on what you're saying, Danny, as an individual consumer having Game Pass, 100%. Go try it out. See if it's for you. If it's not, keep it moving. My issue is not with that. My issue is not with Crackdown. Well, actually, it is. My issue is this. Crackdown just dropped here in February 2019. The first time we heard about Crackdown 3 was in 2014, and they had their freaking marketing whole bonanza, power of the cloud. This was going to be a generational leap in the way that we use cloud computing and have destructible environments in multiplayer games. That was the sales pitch in 2014. Mm-hmm. How dare I hold them to that standard in 2019 of them not delivering that? Instead, they delivered a game that would have been barely acceptable at the start of the Xbox 360 era, let alone be acceptable here at the end of the Xbox One era. Games have changed in the past 5 years and are no longer what we expected back freaking 10 years ago, right? Remember, the original Crackdown came out 12 years ago. I'll be damned if this is not basically more of the same. From 12 years ago, games evolve, games change. And the example that I use, because people was getting mad at me on Twitter like they always do, is look at a game like God of War. God of War didn't stay static. God of War is not the same freaking game that it was 12 years ago. They evolved. They changed what God of War was, but they kept the spirit of what God of War was, so that now it is arguably the best game of the past year, right? So I don't, here's my thing. Microsoft didn't take a risk. They didn't try something radically different with Crackdown 3. They promised something radically different, but at the end of the day, because it got stuck in development hell, we basically got a polished up version of the original Crackdown from freaking 2007. That's what my issue is. My issue also is how dare you freaking charge consumers $60 for this? If it was 30, I don't say a word if it was 30 bucks today. Because that's exactly what this game is worth, in my opinion. And I don't like people leaning on, well, it's on Game Pass. So since it's on Game Pass, you
first
can just
all,
try
first
it.
Of
and
all, ha- first I, of all, I don't talk like that, but go ahead.
Since it's on Game Pass, you know. No, but my point is, because it's on Game Pass, people are using that as an excuse to say, oh, it's okay that it's in the state that it is, because you could just pick it up on Game Pass. Well, what if I don't have Game Pass, right? Danny, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking in general. I didn't see a freaking peep when you were talking, right? So let me talk. So my point is this. Because it's on Game Pass, that shouldn't be used as a crutch to deliver a double-A experience for what was promised to be a triple-A experience, right? And the analogy I use is this, because people are like, well, look at Netflix. People watch things on Netflix that aren't necessarily great. Guess what? House of Cards, when it first came out on Netflix, was a triple-A experience, right? It got crappy towards the end. Guess what? I stopped watching it. I didn't go ahead. Well, I started watching House of Cards, and because I have the Netflix subscription, even though it sucks now, I'm going to keep watching it. No, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? So to me, we're setting a dangerous precedent with Game Pass to say that it's okay if Microsoft releases half-assed games because it's Game Pass. That should not be the precedent, right? It should be, hey, you've given me a nice subscription service that's going to keep me in your ecosystem, but you keep delivering AAA content to me the way I expect. And if we want to take it even further and take Forza Horizon and put it off to the side, name me a relevant AAA game that Xbox has delivered this entire generation. You can't, because they haven't. And that's the number one problem that I have right here. And look, I'm not saying they're going to do this into the next generation. I feel like they're setting themselves up well in the next generation to change all this. But Crackdown 3, to me, is the last relic of the Don Matrick era, right? of the era of they were trying to sell us a bag of freaking goods that weren't going to come to reality. To me, this is the shining example of what they were doing in 2013, 2014. And sadly, they've not delivered. You could argue maybe Gears 4 if you want, Halo 5, hell no, in my opinion, but they've not given me, there's not a memorable game from the Xbox One exclusive platform that's a AAA experience this generation. I can't think of one. I could think of, off the top of my head, God of War, Uncharted 4, Spider-Man, Mario Odyssey, Legend of Zelda. You know, I can think of other games on other platforms that were exclusive to them that were memorable from this generation that will have a lasting impression on me. Can't do that from Xbox One. So when I see people consistently excusing that we got this half-ass experience from Crackdown 3 and say, oh, that's okay, it's just more Crackdown. Crackdown's fun. I even had a friend of ours, and I won't say who he is, but you know damn well who you are, with a straight face said, yep, I would spend $60 on Crackdown 3. Stop lying. No, you would not. You would not.
I will not spend no $60 for that game. I'll tell you straight up.
That's ridiculous to say.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That is ridiculous.
And I get it. I get it. I get it. I get the whole thing, Paris. I get it. But here's the thing. If I download a Game Pass and other people download a Game Pass and having fun, it's like, oh, we
take Game Pass out
guilty.
Of it.
But let me finish. Let me finish. I let you talk.
You didn't let me finish. I wasn't even done
talking.
Should
we feel guilty?
Jump in with this nonsense.
But should we? Let me say something. Ask you a question. Should we feel guilty because of all the things that you said? And be like, you know what? If you play it, your opinion doesn't count because it's a half-assed game. If you got it at Game Pass, or even if you, let's say you just bought it, and you're enjoying it, then what? Do their opinion is wrong though? Is
no
it wrong?
Jesus Christ.
I get what you're saying.
I didn't say your opinion. I started off by saying your individual opinion is correct, but the overall point is what I just said. It's not about you, the individual. You like whatever the hell you want to like. I'm not telling you to not like a game. If you love Crackdown, Tony Polanco, who ain't even an Xbox player, freaking loves it. That's fine. Yeah. That is fine. My point is you came in here like a snake oil salesman in 2014 and tried to sell me a bag of goods, and this is what the frick you give me 5 years later. Not acceptable.
Yo, but like I said, don't buy it. If you feel that this is bad, then don't buy it. And show, look, I think by you not buying something and not supporting it like that, like going into the stores or whatever, and I think it will help out, like the feedback. Post on Twitter, let the developers know, hey, how do you feel about the game? That's it. But I think that, yeah, I agree about the whole thing, what you were saying. Where like there was even a time that I think God of War was getting bad reviews and they had to evolve. They had to make the game different for the next gen. But they had to go through that stage of people like, hey, I'm not liking this at all, man. I forgot which game it was. It was one of the older God of War games. I just can't remember exactly on top of the head, but look, in this generation, I enjoyed Gears of War 4. I enjoyed Forza Horizon. There's other stuff like Ori and all that, you know, Cuphead and all that, but those are the only two games that I can think of from this generation that's been like really fun, top notch from Microsoft. And also Sunset Overdrive, my opinion, but a lot of people might disagree, whatever. But I just hope that next generation will get to see a lot of good things, man. Because this generation has been kind of up and down. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
well, that's the good thing with the recent spate of changes, right? You've got the acquisition of Ninja Theory, Obsidian, InXile, and studios like that. Well, I think it's Matt Booty who's in charge of a lot of those you know, new studio things.
Yeah, Xbox Game Studio, I always called.
The forward thought process for Microsoft, which is to start finally developing those AAA in-house games for the platform, is going to be crucial for the next 4 or 5 years. As Microsoft continues to battle Sony for that, you know, Sony and Nintendo for the dollars of the consumers who are becoming more and more petty and more, you know, frugal with how they spend their cash, it's going to be very telling. Microsoft can't continue to drop Crackdown 3s and I'll even say it's Sea of Thieves. Those aren't game titles that are going to sell consoles. If they're going to do that, then just devote your time to the console and your Xbox Live service and just play and just sell the ability to play games on your platform with hardware. Stop trying to be a game studio if you're not going to be able to do it well or successfully. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, before we move on, I think that this might be the last Crackdown. If they do decide to bring it back,
it's definitely gonna be the last Crackdown.
Well, I'm just saying, if they do decide to bring this back, get a brand new studio, brand new developers with new concepts, new everything, and work on that game. That's all. That's all I have to say. I have to say about that stuff, man. So, do you think we have time to do fan mail or no? Not all of it, but at least a voicemails, at least. Not that many.
I just want to say for the record, I was not done. So thanks for taking a comment.
All right, no, go ahead.
No, let's wrap it up. I just want to say that. I just wanted to point that out because I'm allegedly petty, according to the chat thing. So
no, yo, it's different opinions. Yo, honestly, we all have different opinions, man. Like, there's gonna be people gonna say Paris is right, and some people are gonna say Danny's right.
Damn it!
This is why I said move on, because here's the problem: every time I try to bring up my point, you're steering it in the wrong direction into something personal. It's not a personal, individual thing that I keep talking about. All I'm saying is this, and I will shut up about it. They tried to sell us a generational leap of a game, and they gave us an Xbox 360 game. That is. Sorry, I'm not going to let that ride and go, oh, that's okay. It's just more Crackdown and it's fun. It's not what you sold me 5 years ago. And you had 5 years to try and create it. And you didn't. You failed at it, which is fine. I'm not saying everything has to be perfect. But this is another example from that era of the Xbox One where their marketing was flat out of freaking control. It is just another example of where they were, I don't want to say they were trying to trick the consumer, because I'm sure they were trying to get to that power of the cloud thing, but it failed. They couldn't reach it. And then we got this, and then now all I'm seeing is excuses on that's okay. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. As a gamer, you shouldn't be accepting okay. You should get the game that you wanted. And like you said, at the end of the day, vote with your freaking wallet. Don't buy it. I 100% would not buy Crackdown 3, and I would not suggest anyone to buy Crackdown 3 unless you just want to revisit the Xbox 360 era. That's all. That's all I want to say. Okay. I'm done.
You're done? You're done?
Yep, I'm done. So you can defend it again if you want.
No, I'm just saying this because, you know, it's funny. I'm going to move on because I'm not going to say anything. Whatever. Let me just move on. I'm just reading the stuff from the chat. But yeah, hey, if you guys agree, disagree, let us know. That's what I like about this. You know, I bet you right now that a lot of people are going to be emailing us, not only because of the Crackdown, but also because of Metro and probably also Anthem. The review, not reviews, but hands-on impressions and stuff. So make sure to tune in to Paris channel, right? The YouTube channel for reviews of Metro and also Anthem, right?
Paris? Yeah, I have some videos up of Metro, Anthem, and then, I guess the Division 2 open beta is coming soon. So I have some stuff on that too.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to add new things in there for the beta, open beta.
I hope so. I hope people get to play the end game stuff that we played at the preview event.
Yeah. It was cool. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com, put your comments and feedback. And also you can check us out. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitch, and other podcast directories. If you get an opportunity, please also to subscribe, post reviews, and share with your friends. All right. Anything else before we wrap it up?
No. Happy birthday to the GOAT, Michael Jordan. Woo!
Woo! By the way, speaking of happy birthday, Gamer Tag Radio is turning 14 years next week. I'm going to DC during that week, and also after that, I've got to go to Arizona for a little bit there too. So, anybody in the DC area or also Phoenix, Arizona, hit me up, Danny at gamertagradio.com. If you want to hang out, this is gonna be my first time going to both of those places. Never been there, so. Any recommendations you think where I should go and check out? Please let me know. I'm going to be there for a couple of days, man. So that's about it, man. So if you're watching this the stream, we're going to continue with the after show, all right? Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Until next time. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.